Our Heavenly Father, we love you and we are in yours. And I pray the Holy Spirit will use each one of us to serve you, to widen the kingdom of God. And I pray the message today, the Holy Spirit touch me, using me to share your message. And I pray the Holy Spirit will be awakening in each one of us in this room so can hear and respond to the message. We love you and we give this worship service to you for guidance and blessing. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. How many of you in training to run like a 5K, 10K, 20K, 50K, something like that? Ah, good. We have some company. Good, good. I'm in training. So this morning I talked with one of our church members. I'm in training, but I go with a small step. I will try to do the 5K. And if I achieve 5K, I will do 10K, and eventually more than that. But I also learned the lesson about myself when I'm in training, even though it's only 5K. And when I run about halfway, my mind begins to get confused. Why do I have to get up early in the morning, like 5 o'clock, 5:30, and run around when everybody still asleep? Why? And then it seemed like, you know, I have to challenge myself. I have to fight within myself, try to keep me moving, to move forward. And I also learned, in order to run 5K, I need to train 10K. Because I find out when I complete 5K, I run out of breath. It takes about half hour with my age and my out of shape. Take about half hour for recovery. It means I'm kept running around, you know, and sweat like crazy. So I kept adjust my goal a little bit. I need to train for 10K in order to run 5K. So at least when I complete the race, I'm still good, you know. And you still like slow down, you run maybe about 1 or 2 more miles, and then you can stop. Okay, but kept relax, slowing down rather than just collapse, you know, on the tracks. The same thing today, you know, for the last few weeks, we learn about the truth of life. And one truth of life is a great commitment. Usually at work, you know, at the end of quarter or the review period, you get the performance review. Or if you go to school and then you get the grade. So is good enough? Is good enough. That's the challenge, because good enough is something very relative. So even if you achieve 99.9% in the business world, and then when you reveal the number, you find out, yes, even though we're good at 99.9%, and then 2 million documents will be lost by IRS this year. Okay, they achieved 99.9%. 22,000 checks will be deducted from the wrong account for the next 60 minutes. Well, today's Sunday, I'm not quite sure. But anyway, every hour, 22,000 checks will deduct in the wrong account. Hopefully it's not your account, because you're in the 99.9%, not the 0.1%. 1,314 telephone calls will be misdirected by telecommunication system. So when you call somebody, more likely every minute, about 1,300 people will get to the wrong person. Even though we say we're in the computer age, computer redirect, but it still happens. If you order even the book from Amazon, more likely they will ship wrong books to you. About 2,500 books each day, they ship the wrong title to you. So if you order textbook, more likely you get the wrong book too. 5.5 million cases of soft drink of next year will be flat. So you order Coke, you may get water. Or taste, no longer Coke, just something. Okay. And if some of you started to become a pharmacist, 20,000 incorrect drugs prescription will be written each year. Okay? So if you get the doctor prescription, when you go to pharmacy, you get the drug from prescription, make sure you check the label, because more likely it may be wrong. And even 12 babies would be given to the wrong parents each day. So if you have a kid, you have a baby, make sure when you give you the baby, make sure it's your baby. Because from historical record, 12 babies give to the wrong parents. So good enough is a new perfection, because that's what we heard around the world. Yeah, we're good enough. So for today, say, hey, good enough is good enough. That's the new perfection. But reality, not so, because good is not enough. It's better, it's possible. So that's the challenge for us every day in our life. When we say good enough, but is there any way you can do better? And then possibility is not good enough. Okay? But however, when you go back and you study about Jesus Christ, his commitment to us is 100%. But for human nature, each one of us, sometimes we make a commitment, it's not quite 100%. It's 99.9%. But we say, not good enough, not perfection. So the lesson today, we need to learn about the truth on Christ's great commitment. Because that truth is everybody around the world, they need salvation. And salvation is not that complicated. So I'm talking about simplicity of salvation and availability of salvation. And even though we study about Christ, the truth in Christ in terms of salvation, but you can use the same principle for your own life, you know, for work, for whatever you try to do, okay? But make sure when I go through about salvation, but get the principle out of it. The need of salvation. Brethren, my heart desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. You would find out about 53% of American people thinking good works can earn a place in heaven. They believe good people will go to heaven. It's just like, hey, I'm a good people. By the end of performance, we expect to have a raise. I'll get promotion because I'm good. Okay? And sometimes you get the expectation performance review, and somehow from your perspective, you see you are good. But from your boss perspective, you're just average. So for human nature, we have to adjust expectation. And the same thing at that moment in time for the Church of Roman, Paul, he disagreed. He spoke about Israelite, the Jewish people, with their religion, law, and tradition. Go back around a little bit, the Jewish, they were very, you know, very strict in terms of the Jewish law about the Judaism. They're very strict because they believe the religion, whatever they believe, would get them to heaven. So they believe in religion, about the law, Moses' law, and tradition. So Paul, he tried to remind us, being religious will not make one good enough to get to heaven in verse 1. So you would find out, if you study about the Jewish people at that time, no group in the world at that time being more religious than the Jews. In fact, Paul, he identified with the Jew he was written about. For years, Paul, he kept the law throughout his, you know, grow-up time, and even when he studied, and when he kept the law. And he followed tradition at that time. And he very ultra-religious, but he knew it wasn't enough. So when you study the book of Acts, you find out, it's, you know, Paul, he very, very jealous. You know, he tried to capture the Christian or the people who follow Christ. He persecuted them because he followed the law, tradition, and the religion at that time. But he understand, he knew it wasn't enough, because for no one can be good enough to earn their way into heaven. And secondly, he understand good people are fundamentally deceived about their sinful condition. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. So he understand, he knew about the zeal of God, because Paul, he kept 10 commandments. And not only he kept the 10 commandments, but he kept 613 commandments added into the original 10 commandments. But you find out is the Jews at that time, they base everything, the knowledge on tradition, religion, and the law, and they thought they're good enough. But reality, they're not good enough to earn the heaven. Break away a little bit, because some of you, you know, you still go to school and some of you still work. So what is the, let me just get the question straight. How do you get an A in class? And how do you get the outstanding performance if you at work? Let's just say, how do you get an A in class? What difference between the C, the B, and an A? Okay, now you get an A. What difference between the A minus, A, and A plus?
A
plus and A. You would find out is, number one, you need to understand the expectation of the professor. If you go to college, you need to understand the expectation. And if you meet the expectation of the professor, you guarantee make a C. So is that good enough? Is enough? No. Some of you just say a B. So now you have to put a little more effort, because between a B and C, only 1 point. So you might put it in between 79 and 80, that 1 point. So maybe you need extra 1% to get to the B, right? And you could find out is between A minus, A and A plus, is only time. Because you can spend about 2 hours study, you make an A minus. 91 point, 90 point. But in order to get from 90 to 95, it may take 3 hours. But from 95 to 100, it may need 3 more hours. So what is the return when you do the study to identify good enough is good enough? Where to stop? But again, you don't just take one class, right? You take five. You take five classes. What happened when you have five final happen in a period of 2 days? So how do you supposed to study to make an A? So possibility, you start out. You know the expectation of the professor. You know if you know material. It's been, let's just say, I'm just throwing out some number. You study for 2 hours, you make an A. And you understand from 90 to 95, you have to spend 2 more hours, now become 4 hours. And from 95 to 100, you have to, let's just say another 2 hours. So now suddenly you have to study 6 hours. So from time management perspective, you might spend 10 hours, 2 hours each classes to study, to hit on A. And spend more time with whatever class in order to get extra point, but it requires extra time. So if you understand the principle, good people are fundamentally deceived of their sinful condition, because you could find out, even apply at work or school, when you think you are good and you lack in terms of study or work ethic, you will fail. And that's the way it is. We're talking about apply to our own life for everything to do. If you are married, it requires work. If you put 0 hour in, no work, into the marriage, you will pay the price. And if you put in 1 hour work for marriage, you would earn 1 hour of whatever reward system. Same thing. And that's what the message Paul tried to communicate to the church at that time in terms of salvation. Because a lot of people, they say, I'm good enough. But how good is good? And thirdly, he tried to communicate with the Jews at that time, being proud and righteous, self-righteous, cause one not to see the need for Jesus. Because they said they're good, but if they're so good, they don't need Christ. So their sinful nature very much like get covered, so they cannot see it. You would find out the same thing if you're in school, and you find out, I'm not studying enough, so now you put some effort into study. But you will find out, hey, I'm so good on this, I don't need to study. And then sometimes you might pay the price because you're not put an effort in. The same thing not work. Because if suddenly we become proud and self-righteousness, more likely we may make mistakes in the work. And suddenly the people kept like run away from you. They didn't point out, didn't help you out because of, you know, pride. And the same principle also apply. And you will find the simplicity of salvation in Romans chapter 10, verse 8 to 10. The Bible talking about the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth and the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So you find out God's word is very, very simple. Verse 9, talking you confess first and then you believe. And then verse 10, believe, result in righteousness, and then you confess, result in salvation. And that's what Paul tried to communicate. However, you would understand, Paul, he tried to communicate, it's easy to say word. But if your heart is not there, so from the heart and the mouth is mismatched, it's easy to say, I'm good. It's easy to say something. But if the heart's not mean it, and then there's a conflict within that person. No one is being saved by repeating a few words. But again, first, Paul is talking about you have to believe in your heart, and then you confess with your mouth. Confession means nothing unless it's backed up by deep hearts believe in Jesus. And that's what communicate. That's what Paul tried to communicate to the people, the Jews at that time. Because the Jewish people, they're so religious. They so said they are righteousness. And they said they do good work they would earn in heaven if they keep the law. But reality is not so. He said, have to believe in the heart, confess by your mouth, and then you'll be saved. So the belief expresses itself by calling upon the name of the Lord. To call on the Lord is the same believing in him. Belief is never mental assent to facts. One believes when they see their desperate condition and cry to Jesus for mercy. They reach out to take God's free gift of righteousness or right standing of God. Salvation, therefore, comes by faith, completely apart from human work or any form of merit. That's what Paul tried to communicate from spiritual sense, how the people have salvation. But some of you in school say, how do I apply in my school? You at work, how do I apply this principle at work? So basically, when you say you study, you mean you study, right? And when you study, in your heart, say, yes, I'm commit time and effort to do study. And of course, you set the goal. If the goal of salvation for the soul, and then what is the goal you try to achieve? When you study, is that a C, a B, or an A? That's the measurement. and put an effort in to achieve that goal. So basically what you say, what you do, it has to match with your heart. And you would understand, you would learn this. And this is my, I'm go through, I have been the student before through. When I'm studying, if I'm not exciting about my study, time is really run slow. It's boring. And my mind couldn't take it. So that reason why, you know, the heart is matched with the mouth or the action, it means whatever you do, make sure you're exciting. If you study in school, exciting about the subject so you can learn. And somehow the brain will take in information. Okay? So we talk about physical sense. The same thing when you go to work. Apply the same principle in terms of salvation, the same thing. When you go to work, you're exciting about the work, regardless how boring the work is. Pick out something to get exciting about it. Prepare the heart, the mind, the mouth, the action. So suddenly the day of work is not that boring. It kept exciting. Okay? It the same principle. From spiritual perspective, the same thing. You know, it go over. Say something, yeah, I believe in God is easy. But is your heart believe in Christ, believe in God? So, or else from spiritual, if you have the conflicts, and then mentally you have the conflicts, and suddenly the action and the mind, the spirit have conflicts. And serving the Lord is no longer exciting or fun. Serve the people at work, suddenly it's no longer fun. And if you teach the kid, and suddenly it's no longer fun. Take care of the husband or the wife, it's no longer fun. Because the heart and the mind and the mouth and the action is not matched. Thirdly, so the Bible talking, so what do we confess? To confess Jesus Lord. Thirdly, availability of salvation. Paul, he wrote a letter, he continued, for the scriptures say, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if you do the translation in common language, it's just like this. No one who trusts God like this, heart and soul, will ever regret. So if we trust God with all our heart, all our mind, we never regret in terms of why we believe in Christ. Because the salvation available to us, and we have that salvation when we believe in him. But the same message Paul tried to communicate with the Jews at that time, salvation for everyone. For everyone who ever believe in him, we have everlasting life. So he's talking about there's no such thing as the Jew and the Greek. You would understand at that point in time, the Jewish people, they don't like the Greek. They don't like other races. Okay, there is some, if we're talking about today in the world, you talk about racism, trust me, back in our own day, it's like 1,000 times more. Okay. So that reason, Paul is saying, God, there is no distinction between the Jew and the Greek. The same law on over the rich to all who call upon him. Okay, God, there is God not distinct with, okay, you rich, you poor, or you whatever the race is. It's just only one law, one God for everyone. And that's salvation for everyone. And when we understand this truth, we would have the excitement to share the gospel to other people, to bring them to Christ, because salvation available to everyone. It's not just for the Vietnamese, but it can be for the Cambodian, for the African, for whoever. Paul reminded us every day, now you go to school, you have a lot of friends, okay? Christ, salvation, available to all your friends too. The same thing when you go to work, you work hospital, you see a lot of patients, or even your co-worker. Salvation through Jesus Christ also available to your patient, your worker, your associate. And make sure you communicate that. When you understand this truth, you have to make sure salvation available to all the people you interface with. I'm just so happy yesterday, a couple of people came to Christ yesterday. They visited our church last week. And when we do the altar call, they kept looking. They don't understand it when we did the altar call. But throughout the week, one thing they learned, when we had a worship service, looked like everybody happy and exciting about come to worship. And when we have lunch together, they said, people really exciting about lunch and talk and seem to be happy, communicate. Something is different. And by the end of the week, this family came to Christ. So believe it or not, on the little action, sometimes we think it not impact. But reality, it impacts the people because when they observe it, they see it, they hear it, okay? And they sensing how we are in Christ. And because of that, it's touched their mind, and then eventually it impacts their soul. So when the gospel message shared, it becomes easy for them to comprehend. They comprehend to understand what is a Christian. They don't understand about Christian, but they see you, it's one of you. You are Christian. And you reflect Christ through your study, through your work, through your behavior, through your help, whatever. People interface. They not just see you, but they see Christ through you. And that's how you impact. And now suddenly, God's word, when you share the gospel, it's been God's word, the good news, is matched with you. You not just recite something you learned in Sunday school and you just recite it, but they see the word and you become part of you. And you are the word which God used to communicate the message. And that's exciting. So I pray a lot for our church people, each one of you, believe it or not. I know some of the people are absent today. But I pray for each one of you so you reflect Christ, because we need to communicate to the people the need of salvation. When you see, you recognize all the people around you need salvation. And the salvation is very, very simple. It's not that complicated. And availability, you have to make sure it's available to you. You hold the key of salvation or not, believe it or not, you hold that key. And you lock, they couldn't come in. You open, they come in. Very, very simple from that perspective. Now back to 5K run again. Okay. Yes, I'm in training. And of course, like I said, in order to run 5K, I need to exercise, go through the practice, the training of 10K. The same thing for salvation. We have to prepare. We have to prepare. You learn the word, you comprehend the word becomes you. So just like you practice 10K, so when you see the people, the word coming out, just like you run 5K, it becomes so easy. Become a part of you. Okay? So let us stand up. Let's read the verse together. Romans 10, verse 13. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How to put your name in this verse? I will help the people who call on the name of the Lord so they can be saved. Had to be put action here, okay? Or else it's just whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall they be saved. But if you, people come to you and you need to help them. Okay? So you say like this, I will help the person who call on the name so they can be saved. Okay? You need practice. It's just like you have to exercise 10K in order to run 5K. So I pray to God, each one of you, you have to have, you know, the personal testimony, you know, one or two verses of Bible become part of you. Okay? You don't quote, you know, John 3:16 said, so God so loved the world. Don't do that. Okay? But become part of you, like normal, regular conversation. Become part of you. So it come out naturally. Okay? Let's set the goal for that. So when I run 5K, I hope you can share the gospel easy and simple, just like I run 5K. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you very much because your word. And we know, we believe, and we trust in you for what you did on the cross because of our sin. And by believing in you, we have salvation. So we confess that you are Lord, our Lord, and our salvation. So I pray for each one of us standing in this room, we comprehend your plan. So we take part into widening the kingdom. So we can become your word. So when we share the message, the people will come to you, to Christ, and have salvation. May God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with all your people in this room. Believe and trust in you and what you did on the cross. And confess that you are Lord. So we can help other people to gain the salvation through you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.